Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here. Another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Dave and I did a wonderful job of getting you fired up yesterday. Well, wait till you hear today's program. Me and my good friend
Dave Colonen.
Dave Colonen and I are going to do it again. We were talking about yesterday, those of you who were able to catch the program, you know, we were talking about dreams and how our Lord and Savior brings us through our dreams, and we shouldn't be afraid to dream big, because whatever we want to accomplish in our lifetime, if we pray for it, talk to the Lord about it, He will see us through, and He can do anything. In fact, our biggest problem in our lives is we don't dream big enough. Jesus can do anything. He is able, and nothing we can dream or concepts that we can come up with can be too much for Him to overcome. He can do absolutely anything at any time. Not only is He able to do big things through us, He is willing to do so. He wants to do things which eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man. All of this God has prepared for us, those of us who love Him. You'll find that written in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, by the way. Doesn't that sound like a God who wants to do great things? This verse is often used at funerals to remind people who are grieving of the hopes they have in Christ. But quite honestly, I believe it also applies to our life here and now. We can't come up with a dream that's too big for God. He has given us every reason to believe He wants us to raise our level of expectation. We often try to lower our expectation, quiet our dreams, because we feel that they are too unrealistic, or that God wouldn't do something huge through magnificent people like us. Well, those issues don't limit God. In fact, we have a Bible full of examples of Him doing unrealistic things through improbable people. Our self-imposed limitations are a lot like Mary's question to the angel Gabriel when he announced that Jesus would be born through her. She is perplexed. Remember, we just studied that last week in church at Christmas time, wasn't it? That the angel has come to see her in Luke 1, verse 29. Like us, she feels she is an unlikely recipient of a miracle. Then she wonders, how is it possible? And Gabriel answers, nothing is impossible with God. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Nothing is impossible with God. David, my friend, I know you cited some very good examples in our recent program about how your dreams have impacted your life and your accomplishments. Do you have any additional thoughts that you'd like to share, perhaps, that we can all glean some inspiration from your experiences?
I do, and I hope that maybe there would be an inspiration that would come from us today that would inspire people to begin to dream big, deep dreams.
Okay.
There's a young man, 20 years of age, checked in to Michigan State University. Didn't know what he wanted to do with his life, but he was going to try and find out. And he lived there for the first 30 days. Didn't like the professors. He didn't like what they were talking about. He didn't like the food. He didn't like his little small room. It seemed like, wow, Michigan State University, It didn't entice him at all in the first 30 days. He didn't know what to study. He didn't know what subjects to take. He was at his wit's end. And one morning he woke up and said, okay, I'm done with this school. Went to the office, said, I quit. You're not teaching me what I want to learn. This does not have it here, and I'm gone. They said, okay. And we went out to the airport and got on an airplane and went home. Here's where the story takes a real twist.
Okay.
He landed in South America, where his parents were missionaries, to a little tribe called the Kofun tribe. And he went and talked to his mom and dad again. He had been raised there. He had learned how to use a blowgun? Blowgun with his mouth. And he had been raised in primitive. And he grew up around people that never had seen an automobile and never had been anywhere, okay? And when he got back to the place where his parents were, he heard that things were going so wrong that their hundreds of people had diminished, and people were leaving, and people were going to America, and then here was this 20-year-old and left Michigan State and said, you know, I'm going back to my hometown village. He said when he got there, he saw the people were dying, and he wanted to make some big changes. He wanted to say, I am going to stay here, and I'm going to prove that this is where God has my deepest dream. He married a native from that tribe. He had children. He got to the place where the U.S. had brought oil rigs to their little community and pulled them up and started digging for oil. It flooded the ground with the fumes and oil residue, and it polluted the water, and the people got sick, and the whole tribe was saying, what are we going to do about this? We're dying. And so here comes this Randy Borman. He said, let's move back into the jungle a little bit further. Let's take a couple miles and we'll get out of their way. So the whole village moved a couple miles in, and he became a kind of a, wow, listen, this kid's gonna, he's got something going. And pretty soon, in a year or two, here comes this same truck pulling up next to their new place, digging for oil. And so now it's time for Randy to go to the government and say, look, in America, they have like Yellowstone National Park, a million acres, and you can't get there and touch it. You have to stay out. So he said, I want to do that here. I want to get the government to give me a million acres, and we'll live in this jungle. We always have. And our people will grow and develop. And so they put this fence up. No, nobody could come in. The oil had to quit. And they all of a sudden, wow. And then Randy got the big thinking in his mind. I need help. I want these children to be educated. So he went to the government and he said, hey, you gave me the acreage. Now I want you to come into my little jungle hut village called Zimbula. And I want you to build me on stilts a school for all the kids. Government said, hey, you're quite a kid. You're doing a fabulous job. We'll come in and we'll build you schools and you can educate your children. I did. And he began to, and then he went back and he said, you know, I've been here a year and I discovered what I need now. I need a TV for every kid. They don't know anything about the outside world. They don't know nothing. And if we put a TV in front of them, They can go around the world, right here in this village, out in the jungles, away from everything. And the government says, man, that would be a great way to educate our children. So they've got a TV for every kid. They start teaching them all day. They learned four languages. All the kids. They could learn to talk to anybody. And here they were with their big TV in front of them. They knew more than me living in Pennsylvania with everything. They knew more than me because of the
TV.
TV. There was so many things that he brought. They finally, he got the Pulitzer Prize, Randy did, for doing this, something that nobody had ever tried. Produce children that were born in the jungle to speak four languages. Whoa. His dream got bigger and bigger and bigger, and finally they built their Zimbula community. 5 miles from everything. They raised up. Nobody left anymore. People were coming back.
This is it.
Randy's got this thing going. And he had the respect of the whole world. They started all kinds of things. They brought basketball. They brought football. They brought tennis courts. They were building a mansion without calling it a mansion for kids and for people.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decided they'd build a hotel so that people could come and see how primitive people live. Drive them on golf carts back into the 5 miles of primitive. They know how to survive.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, I love that story, and at my age, this is about 8-10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That story grabbed me by the throat, and I said, you know, I wonder if I could ever contact Randy Borman, and if he would let me bring the couriers into Kofan and give them a concert. Teach them how to sing and preach the gospel if they would let us. I had that dream. I had other quartets wanting to come with me. We were going to barnstorm that village way back in the tule bush and bring them a whole different concept of life. That dream was so big in me, Giff, I couldn't sleep at night.
Wow.
And at that point, that's as far as I could go. I ended up punching in to the TV thing that could come into my home from the village.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody made pictures, somebody made videos, and I got that coming into my house. I talked to people about it. I said, Lord, this is a deep dream. That if I could ever leave Pennsylvania and go to the Kofan tribe. People who have never lived outside their village. If I could go there and sing. I've sung everywhere. Come on, Lord. Why don't you let me do this?
Yeah.
And, you know, I soon, I don't know how it happened, but I forgot about it. I got tired of trying and thinking. And, you know, just the other day, and boy, I'm telling you this, just the other day, I woke up dreaming about the Kofan tribe.
Wow.
And Randy. And a kid's name came up in the dream from our church, like a 22-year-old.
Yeah.
A dream came up in the night.
Yeah.
And the dream said, why don't you interest somebody to take your place? And when the dream was over, I woke up and I went to church. And this kid, I said, you know, I wonder if he's even going to be here today. And lo and behold, in the church, he came walking down the aisle to me, and I said to him, I need to have a meeting with you for an hour. I want to talk to you about something. And he got all blazed, his eyes got real big. He said, what, I'm ready for anything. Tell me. And I said, this is it, this is the story and a half. I said, you know, in the night, I dreamed about you.
Uh-huh.
We don't know each other very much.
Yeah.
I've only met him once or twice.
Just in church.
All right. I said that I had a dream about you, and I forgot about it this morning coming to church, but when you came down the aisle, I said,
it all came back to you.
I got to talk to this guy. What if he hadn't come down the aisle?
That's right.
I still wouldn't have talked to him. I mean, right. But now I haven't talked to him yet, but I've got him on the agenda.
Yes.
And see, the Lord takes something that was a deep dream of yours that you couldn't do. You're too old. Something happened. I got sick. Yeah. It was far-fetched. Mm-hmm. Here's a young man that's just open. He's reaching for, tell me, you know, what? And I'm going to lay it to him. Yeah. You haven't heard the last of this dream.
Oh, yeah.
This story. That story
to be continued.
This is going to be continued. Yes. I can hardly wait to see the end. If I could get him to get to, because he's a preacher.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's a preacher already.
Oh, wow.
And if he could get somebody with a singing, if he could get 9 guys or 10 guys, maybe 10 guys to go down there and talk to Randy Borman and say, hey, mm-hmm. we're here to help you in anything we can do.
Now, I have one question for you. How old is this Randy Borman now? Now, he was 20 when he started all this. How old is he today?
I think he's in his 40s.
Okay, so he's had 20 years experience in building this community, moving it from place to place, establishing a school, a hospital, a hotel, a radio station, TV station. He's done all of these things. Wow, so something as refreshing as a young preacher would be quite meaningful to that village.
To get a little singing group that is dying on the vine, say, I'll go down there. I think he could find 10 guys really quick, and they could all go around America having the services and raising their support. It would be the biggest story of life. I don't know why I'm telling you this on the radio. My goodness, I am exploding with something that I should be quiet about.
No, that's the dream. We were talking about dreams. And how powerful the Lord is and how we can do anything. And our problem in this good old earth we live in is we don't dream big enough.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to bring that kid in here.
You bring him in.
We're going to have him on our
program. We'll talk to him right here. Right here on the air.
And get him all excited about, maybe we could even support him and help him. We could talk about it. What if people send enough money to send him to their,
send him off
this
to
year,
South
this
America.
Year. Come on.
Let's do it.
That's what makes the radio station valuable. That'll put us on the map.
That's what we're all about. We're all about bringing people to the Lord. We might be able to inspire this young man to do the work of the Lord, and he in turn could bring hundreds, maybe even thousands of people to the Lord all over the globe himself. Boy, wouldn't it be great to be a part of that?
Wow.
That's what we're talking about.
Woo,
that's
man.
What it's all about, Dave.
I get goosebumps.
Yes, I guess too you do. Well, not only is able to do these things.
Before you go, I'm going to go over here to our engineer, 25-year-old, 25 years old.
Oh,
Come on.
Maybe he'll go along.
Jeremy, are you even listening? Am I boring to you, or is there something that I said that grabbed you by the throat?
I'm in and out. I'm doubling between listening to what you guys are saying and paying attention to what's going on over here, too, at the same time. But... yeah, a lot of it's, you know, the thing that gets me a lot of times is all the time that you talk about what's going on with your family and how many stories that you have of just the vast number of different things that are happening. I always wonder, like, sometimes if God is, like, purposely working with your family in particular, because it seems like in all your generations, just going down the line, there are amazing stories that are going on. And, like, you've been saying about dreams that, like, so many members of your family have very clearly defined dreams of what they want to do, or at least something happens that opens it up for them to be able to pursue something that's greater than they thought. I mean, in a lot of ways, like, I think compare that to my own experiences, and I'm like, man, I sometimes wish I had that sense of direction. But I have to believe that everything is in its time and its place.
I'll tell you what happened to me. I went to sing in the state of Washington. I went to the Bible College for the assemblies, and I forget what town it's in, the big town. Well, the couriers were invited to come and sing at chapel. When we got there, I was handed a piece of paper, and it said, please sing 3 songs. I thought we had the whole chapel service, but we didn't. We were singing, and the president was speaking that day after we were through, and he was presenting his new book. And his name is Castleberry, Reverend Castleberry. And I got the 3 songs. We argued about what we're going to sing. We're going to sing 3 songs of this. Well, they had 1,000 kids in school. Well, we got up and sang our first song, and the whole body of kids got up and clapped.
Whoa.
So we got them sat down. We sang the second song, and they got up and they clapped and they clapped. And they were, and I don't know what they thought, but we sang the third song, and when they got up, they wouldn't quit clapping. And I knew that Castleberry was next. He was telling, he was preaching to his students. And amid the applause, just overwhelming, I said, President, what should we do? And he said, I'll do a closing today at 2 minutes, and you could just take the whole hour. So he said, sit down. They got the whole hour. Well, you're not going to get me today. And at the end, he brought out his book. He said, this is my first day to get this book. It's a book of dreams. And I want every one of you to buy it because I want every one of you to have a deep, deep, deep dream. And he gave me that book that day. And guess what the first chapter was all about?
What was it?
Randy Borman and the
Cold Fort. You're kidding. Is that where you learned about Randy?
That's where I learned about Randy at a Bible college.
Isn't that fascinating?
In the state of Washington.
Yes.
I wanted to meet him right away. I wanted to call him. I wanted to email him. I wanted to do so much. And I just, you know how you put things off. Say, that's stupid,
yeah.
Dave. You're way off. You're not the kind of guy that's going to do that. Come on.
That's what we're talking about. The limitations. Dreaming limitations, yes. No, there is no limitations with God. Anything is possible with God, the Bible tells us.
Well, we've interrupted you days.
No.
We're just rattling your cage.
That is exactly the kind of program we are about. We want to bring realism to our listeners. We want them to understand that God is real in their lives, and they have the opportunity to have these experiences too if they just allow it. And that's what our job is. So you're doing a tremendous job. You don't have to worry about interrupting me. I have a stack of notes here that will take me a month of Sundays to get through them anyway. So it doesn't matter if it takes me a little longer than I'd like to admit it should. I really, really, really appreciate your sharing your thoughts, your ambitions, your dreams, your accomplishments, where you've been and where you're headed. And you're inspiring great people. The young person who just spoke to our listeners, if you didn't catch his name, is Jeremy Ross. He is our engineer. Dave and I do this in the production studio at the radio station every week. But Jeremy is very faithful in working with us. When you hear a young man talking about goals and dreams and ambitions and how he's open and receptive to whatever God throws at him, it's very inspiring to people my age and Dave's age. We get a little older. We've already been through it. And we know what he's thinking. We know what he's up against. And you just never know what's going to work. What's going to open? Who's going to buy the next book that tells a story about the Borman? You know, who knows when that's going to happen? We don't know. But in any case, we're going to have to say thank you. Dave, you've been truly a great inspiration. Jeremy, our engineer, we thank you. You guys have both been an inspiration to me in this program today. And on behalf of our listeners, we sincerely thank you. But we've exhausted our time, so it's time for a gift Briner to say bye-bye for now. See you next time.
Dave Colonna here, too. I've enjoyed being a part of this program, probably taking more than my share of the time. It's good to be around young people like Jeremy, 25 years old. I'm going to see how he's dreaming. So catch a big dream. See you next time. Bye-bye.